Thank you very much, Wes. Appreciate you getting us into that mindset of worshiping. Wes and Sharon went to see the Jesse James movie. Now, Jesse James movie was not made in Missouri, where Jesse James was shot, in St. Joe, Missouri. I go see Don, Nancy. I always have to go over and see Jesse James's grave. And
give him your regards.
Give him my regards. Where Frank is, I don't know. I don't know where Frank's buried. I went to the house way out from Kearney, Missouri. And the house that they all lived in, where a lot of things happened in his life, stayed empty for about 20 years. Seems like from about 1920 to about 1940. And was not broken into, vandalized, anything. Jesse James' father, I don't know if you know it, was a preacher. And in fact, his father started two churches in St. Joe, Kearney area. He helped start a Bible college that's still in existence. The two churches are both in existence. In fact, I wrote the Bible college, or emailed them, called them, and they sent me the statement of faith that Jesse James's father had written when he formed the churches that they went by. And he was right on as far as salvation, eternal life salvation. But he was a little bit vague to wrong on spirituality. But he was a preacher. And 2 years after Jesse James was born, I got a picture. I bought it in a little souvenir shop near the house. And it's of Jesse James's. I laugh with Jim because he knows I love souvenir shops. I'm so glad they fought all the battles near one. And got a picture of Jesse James's father holding a Bible in one hand and a 45 in the other. And but his dad, after he started two churches and a school. 2 years after Jesse James was born, the denomination, a Baptist, really put pressure on him to go to California and take the gospel to the miners and all the people rushing there. He went reluctantly at first, but he went, and he wasn't there too long, and the man died of cholera. He went to give the gospel, and he was right on the gospel part. So he went to give the gospel, died of cholera, and what they did at that time, if you know about these things in the old West, in the old day, they just dug a big hole, and all they have is, here lies about 110 people who died of cholera. They just put them all in one hole and covered over. A lot of times they'd have horses drag the bodies because they didn't want to touch them, and so they would... Here lies the body. Here lies 110 men who died of cholera. So here is Jesse James's father. I think his name is Frank James also. No marker. And here's a notorious Jesse James. And got this gravesite. People come to it. I can't believe anybody go to it. And make sure they go every time they're in that area. Go see where old Jesse James is buried. And the Beckers they live near some fun stuff. Right down the road from them is what I like to kid them about, Holy Ground, where Smith of the Mormons, the angel spoke to him, and it's all fenced off with cameras, 24-hour cameras, and it's a holy ground. It's a sacred holy ground, and it's got, huh? In case the angel comes back. And they got big stone, stone with the things that the angel said. And what I thought was just so cool, the second most important thing, tithe your 10%, boy. Get that money in. I thought that was so cool. But So he's got that, and then down the road, Jesse James. Up another road is Mark Twain. So it's an interesting area there. And then not a little bit further from in Missouri is Harry Truman is from that area. And so it's a fun area.
The sons may very well be safe,
Do what?
Jesse and Frank may be
saved. I think that they both are saved.
The mother,
I'm just going to say, if the mother went by what her husband believed, she saved. And I'm sure she passed that on to the boys. And Frank James, just another little thing, and I got to get on teaching the Word of God, but Frank James, when Teddy Roosevelt was running for president, he was shot at. Assassination attempt. Well, Frank James wrote a letter offering his services to be a detective and to protect Teddy Roosevelt, and they politely wrote back and said thank you. And he became a lawyer. He became quite an influential person in his own right. Frank James did. So, but that's the story of Frank and Jesse James, as far as I know, and all that. But the house is really interesting to go through. Just all the things about it, and it's just like it was when he lived there. Jesse?
20.
Somewhere around 20, I think. How old would you were you thinking? I'll tell you right now. You be here Sunday, and I'll have the answer to that. We could do that, yeah. Whole class, we've got to find out how old Jesse James was when he died. Yeah, he was older than that. He was older than 20, yeah. Because Civil War was over, and the war between the states. And so, yeah, he was older than that. Yeah. And they had done some, huh?
Glad you corrected that war between the states.
Yeah, I corrected that quickly. And those of you who don't know, that's very important. And and they had done some train robberies, or let's just say they had lifted some money off the train, and a few things like that. But it's got a nice little house in St. Joseph, Missouri, and there's an old guy that volunteers his time, and you go there, he is worth the trip. See, the house has become secondary. This old man, shorter than I am, and I mean just snappy old little old guy, and we just started talking, and he's just telling me his stories and all this stuff. And then it came across that I was a preacher, and he was so funny. He goes, "Well, what in the world are they teaching you preachers in seminary?" He said, "Our church, we've already ran off 3 young guys out of seminary." He said, "I can't believe what they're teaching y'all. What happened to the truth?" And we were talking. He said, "And my sister said she's going to walk out the next time the preacher's wife gets up to sing." she cannot take one more song by the preacher's wife. He was just feisty and fun, and he was just worth it. And it was a good day because it was cold and there wasn't anyone else there. And he was just fun, and told me a lot of stories about the area and all. And while you're in St. Joe, and I just know you're getting ready to run up there, while you're in St. Joe, you go down about 3 blocks, and there's the big museum of the Pony Express. Because the Pony Express left from St. Joe to go west. That's where it left from. And it gives you all the history. The flyer to work at the Pony... I got to teach the word. The flyer to get a job at the Pony Express, you got to be thin, can't weigh over a certain amount, young, and expect to die. And that's what it says on the job application. Expect to die. And that's really interesting to go through the Pony Express Museum and see their little their building and things that they did and the movies, the stories they have for it. They've got every Pony Express rider and the names and pictures. If they can get a picture, there'll be the pictures of them there. And one Pony Express driver lived be over 100. He was in his early 90s and he lived in New York, and he just decided he was bored with life, so he got on his horse and rode a horse from New York to California. And I don't know if he made it back, but he rode it there. But Pony Express is, it didn't last very long. I have it, the romance of the Pony Express, but it really didn't last that long. Telegraph came through, the railroad came through, and so it was short-lived. But that short life was just a romantic period in our history. Of course, Calamity Jane, Bobby Hickok, all those people were related to that. Okay, now let's go to the Bible. We're through with Missouri, and if you go to St. Joe, and you see Jesse James' house, the Pony Express, go down the road and see Kearney, where Jesse James is buried, and outside where the house, you might as well go on up and see Don and Nancy. They'd love to have you up there and have them take you over to the holy ground, and they'll do that. So, okay, while we're talking about that, we'll be in prayer for Nancy. Now we'll be in prayer for Don, if everybody shows up, and for her health. And Tish, tell us how things are going. When will they know something? Okay. Okay. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Absolutely. And we need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be in prayer, Wes, for your eye. What's the status? What's the next thing to be done? Or are we just going to wait around and you go blind and then say, oh, he went blind?
Passmore's going to take it out and operate. I don't know if it's progressive.
Don't know if it's progressive? Is there any way we can correct it and change the course?
I don't know.
Do you know? The good news is no.
Wow.
Okay, we'll be in prayer. Can you magnify the glasses? Does that help a person with have what he has? Not really? Wow. Gee, okay. Well, we'll be in prayer, Wes. Sorry you have to go through that. And we'll definitely be in prayer. If you're from Vic. Are you kidding? Oh, and they can do anything now. It's so pathetic. There is no security and stuff. Man, wow. Okay, we'll be in prayer. Thank you. Need to be in prayer for Vic in regard to that. We need to be in prayer for Cindy, his wife. And this is not good. So we need to be in prayer. I need to give Vic a call. And I talk to him. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay. Did you show everybody your pictures? Okay.
Four or five times.
Four or five times. We got to see her pictures of her grandbaby. My goodness. Okay. Yes. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Bible. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we open up the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we see the wonders of your love. how your son has prepared us a place for all eternity. Setting aside any fear, worry, concern of after death, so that now we can live our life in vitality, energy. Then you've sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and empower us living this life. So, Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see now as we close out a study on this great, marvelous work of Christ, as we saw last night. Great and marvelous are his works, the work of reconciliation. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, one was a definition. Two was it's a work of God alone. Three, removal of the enmity. Four, reconciliation will require God to give his only begotten Son. I dropped my notes for those of you that are on the internet. I saw a political speech several years ago, and the politician got all of his notes mixed up. And boy, that is, you go, ah! So I make sure mine are always numbered. And then the fourth, reconciliation and the love of God. And now, that was five. And now, tonight, six. The enmity between, this is where we begin tonight, the enmity between God and man was due to God's essence and our sins, resulting in a separation between God and man. This is the need of reconciliation. Even among humans, we hurt one another. We cause some turmoil. So reconciliation is now required. Now, having said that, don't ever get the idea we hurt God. We can't hurt God. But he is holy God. And so this is going to set up the need of the removal of the barrier. He had to condemn, but his love had to give us harmony. So reconciliation is a function of the love of God. God does all that is necessary. This is the work of love. Reconciliation is the work of love. This is why Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We refer to this as the act of the love of God. And why do we call it that? Because he initiated reconciliation. He initiated it by offering his son. Or we could put it another way if we want to. By becoming man. If we want to stay with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit image, that's fine. But another way, God became man. He made a choice himself to become man and remove the barrier. So we refer to it as an act of love of God. We refer to it as an act of love of Jesus Christ because he submitted himself to the death of the cross. He bore our judgment that belonged to us. He removed the enmity. Now here's what's remarkable. Each one of us has the potential of this same love. Every one of us had the potential of this same love by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And when love makes it its great demands, we can do it. We have already seen nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loved. And you're able to do that in the filling of the Holy Spirit. The love of God and the love of Christ is given to each one of us by the presence of the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, who indwells us. This is one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the potential of this love. Let's take the direction of love. The world. For God so loved the world of sinners, his enemies, however you want to word it. The magnitude of his love, he offered his son. The magnitude of his love, he himself became man. The impact or the effect of that love, reconciliation. In this study, the impact or the effect of that love is reconciliation. That brings us to point seven. The person of reconciliation. The person of reconciliation. It is God, not man, who initiated and performed the act of reconciliation. We've already studied the magnitude of this act. Remove the hostility by a sacrifice on his own part. Even though we were the ones who sinned. I want to keep emphasizing that as long as we're studying reconciliation. We committed the offense. He provides the way of reconciliation. That's just the opposite of what man does. When man provides or does the offense, man has to do something about it. Pay the crime, pay for the crime, do good, bring flowers and candy, do whatever it is that he would have to do. Man has to do something. But in the spiritual realm, we committed the offense, God provides the reconciliation. And he did this as a demonstration of his love. And this love should now control and motivate us and direct us in life. Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure, tells us something about God, for all the fullness to dwell in Him, Jesus Christ, and through Him, that is, through the person of Jesus Christ. This introduces another word that is important to reconciliation. Mediator. Jesus Christ. We've seen many words that relate to reconciliation, forgiveness, enmity. But this is the word, a mediator. This is the person who acts as a mediator between the offended and the ones who committed the offense. This is the person who reconciles. Colossians 1:20, and through Him, through Jesus Christ the Mediator. Now, if you're taking notes, write down 1 Timothy 2:5. Please don't turn to it. Let me just give you 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one Mediator between God and people. That is Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the Mediator. Now let's go back to Colossians 1:20. And through Him, that is through Jesus Christ, that word through sets up the mediatorship, to reconcile all things to Himself, that is to God the Father, having made peace. It's another word of reconciliation. A lot of words related to reconciliation. Peace is another one of those words. Removal of the barrier. Through or by means of the blood of His cross. And we now know the word blood refers to the spiritual death of Jesus Christ. Through Him, that is through Jesus Christ, as mediator, peacemaker, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Wow. Well, we won't labor here. We're going to move on. But this sets up a whole new realm of understanding about the angels being involved in the work of Christ on the cross. Most people don't think that the cross affects the angelic realm directly. I think it does. I think that all angels have fallen, even though we call a class of angels elect. I believe they did fall. I believe all fail. I do not think that they are holy as they were created. They fail. And through restoration, reconciliation, by Jesus Christ's work on the cross, I think affects the angelic realm. From passages like this and others. If you don't, that's fine. Let's don't break fellowship. Don't sit down and have a Coke with me or coffee or tea. Don't worry about it. If you think the cross is just designed for mankind, that's fine. But I believe that it also affects the angelic realm very strongly from passages like this and many others. Yes. I think that the cross is that sacrifice that affected them even back at the angelic conflict realm. Just as from Adam, they all look forward to the cross, I think angels have looked forward to the means of the reconciliation. But it was given to them back then just as it was given to Adam and Eve and everyone after that.
Could Christ have come in the form of an angel?
He could have. Well, we know he did. We know he did in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ often.
So perhaps he's the same lamb.
Yes, it is. It is the same lamb. Oh, I misunderstood your question. I thought you meant was he sacrificed in eternity past and in time? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought you were saying. I don't think he was sacrificed twice. And John, I don't know. I don't think he was sacrificed twice. I think that from passages like this, it's obviously referring to the cross, that it was at the cross. The blood of the cross, through or by means of the blood of his cross, I say whether things on earth or things in heaven. So I think the work of the cross affected all creatures, angelic and human. Okay. Now, the word peace, the word irone, where it says in 120, having made peace, is a vital part of reconciliation. Let me read to you. There are different kinds of lexicons, dictionaries that I have of Greek and Hebrew. I like the one by Lowell, L-O-U-W, and Nida, N-I-D-A. They call it a domain. And what they've done is not taken, like we would do A to Z and Alpha and Omega in the Greek. They don't do that. What they do is they take words that are in a domain of thought. This is what they have to say here. To be reconciled to someone is to establish or make peace with, to cause a state of peace between hostile parties. And God established peace between him and man by offering his Son. The making of peace or reestablishing peace between hostile persons is a distinctive feature of reconciliation. But the focus in peace is to emphasize the resulting state. And that's what I wanted you to get here. Peace is the resulting state of reconciliation rather than the process of reconciliation. So we could have a process of reconciliation, and then we have a state of reconciliation. The process is the cross. The state of reconciliation is peace, the removal of the barrier, and the establishment of our place with God. We got so many beautiful words. Sunday morning in Rome, in Romans, here we got peace. In Romans, we saw that we are in the what? In the beloved. Then we saw that we're also called, remember, Sunday morning? Saints. Oh, yeah. Okay. As long as you remember. We're called saints. So just Sunday morning to here, this is your position when you've accepted Christ as Savior. Peace with God. Peace with God. Remember that? Peace with God. Peace of God. We studied that. Peace of God is in our life. That's where the Holy Spirit. Peace with God is at the cross. Okay. Beloved, which you can never lose. Saints, which you can never lose. There's no one, no special saints. But here we have the result, not the process of reconciliation. The person who restores peace between people is called a peacemaker, one who works for peace. Jesus Christ is a peacemaker between man and God. I've met people like this in life. They just like everybody to love everybody. They want everybody to be happy. They just, well, let's just get along now. Let's get along. And they just try so hard to be peacemakers. And some people just don't want to be peacemakers. Of course, a lot of us know that in the Old West, the peacemaker was the Colt 45. That was the peacemaker. But that's not what we mean here. See? So reconciliation, restoration, is a change from a state of enmity to one of friendship. Jesus Christ is our friend. We are now restored to fellowship with God, restored to His favor, His love. Okay, point eight. Jesus Christ not only reconciled man with God, this is important now, Jesus Christ not only reconciled man with God, but also reconciled man with one another. Here's the basis of getting along with each other. Right here. Let's open the Bibles to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. If you're writing it down, we're going to go 13 to 17. Okay, Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off. Okay, what does that mean? That's far off from God. Not in the sense of distance, but in a state of existence. You can be standing right next to someone and yet be far off from them. Unfortunately, you can be sleeping next to someone and yet be far off. So, this is talking about in the spiritual realm. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, we just saw the blood of Christ establishing peace. Now we see it being brought near, same concept, by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, reconciliation, peacemaker. Jesus Christ removed the barrier, and now He alone stands between man and God. People, this is why when we give the gospel, the issue is not your life. The issue is not how you talk, how you dress, how you act, what you do. Maybe those things need to be cleaned up. That's not the point of salvation. There's only one thing on the table. It's only one thing between that person you're talking to and God, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. So that's what it means here. He stands between us and God. When we understand these principles, then you understand the message that we're to give others when we give them the gospel. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. Okay, who are the ones that were far off? That's Gentiles. Gentiles, who made both groups into one. Jesus Christ brought both Gentiles and Jews into one body. It's what we call a church. He also reconciled members of the human race, regardless of the race, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one, the church, the body of Christ, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. The barrier is gone. Christ removed it by His cross work. That's what reconciliation is. Verse 15. By abolishing in His flesh, that's His work on the cross, the enmity, hostility, provocation, which is the law of commandments, the law that reveals that man is a sinner, the law that reveals man is too weak to provide any reconciliation with God. This is the law that is replaced by the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 15. By abolishing in His flesh, the enmity which the law of commandments contained in ordinances. This is the portion of the law that points to the spiritual part of the law, which points to the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. Points to the fact that what we're studying right now, Jesus Christ is the way. That He always has been. That's why in Romans 1 it says, written in the prophets of old. He has always been that atonement. It's what the whole Holy of Holies is about in the temple. By abolishing in His flesh, God the Father provided reconciliation by sending His Son as the mediator. Jesus Christ has moved it by His death work on the cross. By abolishing, that's the process of reconciliation. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The ordinances tell to be reconciled with God, but that it has been accomplished by the Lamb of God. By the Lamb of God. That He Himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. By this reconciliation, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, as were the one, the peacemaker, makes all members of the human race into one. Into one. This is why, people, we have the new commandment for the church to love one another as I have loved you. That's why we have this new commandment given to us. Verse 16, and might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, into one, to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Note how it continues to talk about the enmity. That's why it keeps coming up in our study. Finally, next verse 17. And He, Jesus Christ, came, incarnation, God becoming man, preached peace. We saw this in our study of the gospel, how Jesus Christ preached the gospel, preached peace. The gospel of peace, the result of reconciliation, to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace, reconciliation, to those of you who were near, Jews. And the disciples again should have put all of this together, for this is the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 57, 17 through 21. We won't read it right now. But you can write it down, Isaiah 57, 17 through 21. 57, 17 through 21. They had it all there. Reconciliation is a person, the person of Christ. Act of reconciliation, the cross. Reconciliation with God also results in reconciliation with all members of the human race. Because this is why we love one another, because we're all in the body of Christ. Finally, a summary. Quickly go through this. One, reconciliation. I'm going to do this real quick. Reconciliation means to reestablish proper interpersonal relationship between God and man. A fun way of looking at this is paradise regained. I like the romance of the concept of paradise regained, but people, let me assure you, we regained much more than we lost in the garden. Just so you know. Paradise lost by sin. To bring about reconciliation means to make things right. Let's go through some of the things. We're still under point one, but let's go through some things that make things right. One, harmony of God with God and man in the garden. Harmony with God, between God and man in the garden. That's how we started out. That's paradise. Secondly, paradise lost by sin. Three, even though man was the offender, there was nothing that man could do. No act by man would bring about reconciliation. Four, So God himself initiated reconciliation. If you think back to the garden, Adam and Eve were running around hiding. Jesus Christ came after them. He came seeking them. Hey, where are you guys? Now, he knew where they were. Hey, where are you guys? We usually meet right in here. We sit down and eat together. Where are y'all? I got some good wine today. What y'all doing? Okay. So, man was the offender. God came and provided reconciliation. Four, so God himself initiated reconciliation. That's his grace. That's his love. God himself initiated reconciliation. That's how important we are to him. Five, and the overt act to remove the hostility, the overt act to remove the hostility was the death of his son. That is that God the Father took the responsibility for our original guilt. These are all very technical theological terms that I'm not going to go into now, but just get it that way in your mind. Took the original guilt that caused the hostility and assigned it to his son on the cross. And finally, restoration of harmony, fellowship between God and man. That's all point one. Summary point one. Summary point two. All reconciliation for both believer and unbeliever. All reconciliation for both believer and unbeliever must be by God alone. Three. The terms and concepts pertinent to reconciliation. Let's just list some of them. Sin or enmity. Holiness. These are all doctrines that we should study now. Love. Mercy. I lost my place here. Holiness, love, mercy, mediator, forgiveness, peace, and as we saw, well, we didn't get to it, but we'll see in Revelation 15, grace. And all these are received by the simple act of faith. All of these are received by the simple act of faith. In other words, total restoration is simply on our part by faith. John 14:6, Jesus Christ declared, I am the way. This is why Jesus Christ came to earth. This is the will of God the Father. This is the plan of God the Father. Please turn with me now in closing to 2 Corinthians 5. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 5. One of the great verses on this whole study. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Why are we looking at this again? Because if you're smart, you know we've already done this. We've already read it. Why are we looking at it again? Let me tell you why. And be sure you put it in your notes if you're taking notes. I want to read it again with one emphasis in mind. Our ministry. The result in our lives. The whole result of all these things we've studied. The impact that it has on our daily life. Our ministry. Let's take a look. Verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is why we're reading this now. This is the impact of all of this study as far as your life and my life every day. wherever you go, work, pleasure, with me, the gym maybe, store, wherever we go, plane, trips, whatever, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Had an interesting flight back from Missouri, Kansas City to Dallas, sat down, pulled out my book, and there was a young man, my age, they're all young, but a young man was sitting next to me, and first we were both, he had his computer, and he was into his deal, and I had my book, which was fine, and we just started talking, and he's a born-again believer, and things weren't working out well for his flights, the reason we got talking, he might have had to, I don't know if he ever did, but what he did, but he might have had to spend the night in Dallas if he didn't connect the plane. Planes were late getting the flying in and out because of the weather outside of Dallas. Here it was beautiful. And we were just talking, and he said it so well. He said, well, he said, if God wants me to stay here, and then I'll stay here. And I went, absolutely. God wants you to enjoy the great state of Texas one night. And he laughed, and then we started talking. And he was a born-again believer and seemed to be in proper thought. But this is our ministry. So let's go on. Gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. With reconciliation comes a ministry. Not only being reconciled with God, not only being at peace with God, not only having all of our sins forgiven, all those wonderful things, we now add another rich word to reconciliation, ministry. Ministry. This is the new ministry for the new creation. We're new creatures in Christ, and now we have a new ministry. It is God the Father who gives us this ministry. And we have to acknowledge His authority over our life. He gave to us. It's accusative plural, referring to all believers. All of us. Every born-again believer has this ministry. Sometimes not so much around in our camp, but used to hear a lot. Pam and I heard it a lot growing up. Full-time Christian service. Well, people, we're all in it. We're all in full-time Christian service, if you like that phrase. We all have this ministry. The ministry, diakonia. In the New Testament, it's a technical term, people, for a charter. You know what a charter is? A charter is often given by the government. A charter is given to carry on specific businesses. We have been given a charter, a ministry, by the highest authority, God, our Father. And our business is reconciliation. We have been given a charter, a business of reconciliation. This is our service, our ministry, of every born-again believer to the world. All men were separated from God. Christ provided the way back. You and I have been given the ministry to tell them this great news. The ministry of reconciliation is a ministry, here's your note taken, the ministry of reconciliation is a ministry of proclamation by life and lips. The ministry of reconciliation is a proclamation of what God has done, how God has provided reconciliation. We studied this in Isaiah and at various times. God declared, we had the questions in Job, how can man be right before God? God declares, I will do it. Then God saves, and then He proclaims. That's where you and I come into the picture. This is our privilege. To announce to people we meet in life, day in and day out, the good news. God has already done it. All you have to do is trust Him. It's yours freely. To tell them the way to God the Father. Christ said, I am the way. Tell them of Christ. The ministry of reconciliation means we share in the work of Christ. Reconciliation. Jesus Christ provided reconciliation. We proclaim it. We're not agents. We're messengers. We're not agents. Christ is the agent. We're the messengers. This is why Paul will end in verse 19 with the word of reconciliation. Ministry, message. Anyone who would be a minister of reconciliation, now this is important, anyone who would be a minister of reconciliation must first be a recipient so that you know what you're offering to other people, this grace and love. Don't misunderstand. An unbeliever can say it. There have been people who have been behind the pulpit who were not born-again believers. I'm sorry. There have been people who weren't in the fellowship, weren't even in the filling of the Spirit and gave it. But what I'm saying to us is that to have the impact of this, we want to have received it so that we know that which we're offering to others. Verse 19. Namely, here's the message, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, the last time we read this a couple of weeks ago, I was emphasizing the work of Christ. Now I want to highlight ministry of reconciliation. And in this verse, committed to us the word of reconciliation. So this is what is given to us. One very important note here. First, God was literally in the person of Christ. In that fact, this is why John gives some great mystery, people. Let me read to you some of the mystery. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. That's a mystery. Verse 38, John 10:38. But if I do these works, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. These are powerful words. John 14, our own study coming up. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the words themselves. This is a mystery. The mind of the flesh cannot figure it out. The mind of the flesh rejects it. It becomes truth to us through faith. That's how it becomes a reality to us. Look at your passage. Verse 18. Preposition dia. Through Christ. Verse 19. Preposition in Christ. Through His gracious work on the cross. In the person of Christ. In the person of Christ. Now, we won't turn here, but those of you that were here last night in Revelation, remember Revelation 15:3? The song of the Lamb, great and marvelous are thy works. This is the works right here. This is what we looked at last night and sang. This is it here. The work of reconciliation. Our part is faith and then ministry. Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 18, look right up. He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, He committed to us the word of reconciliation. He committed to us. That's responsibility. Tithemi. He set upon us. And people, this is beautiful. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the Logos. Reconciliation is a person. Jesus Christ is the Logos. What is the word of reconciliation? Jesus Christ. We have seen before. What did He say to Martha? Martha, I am the resurrection. Remember? I am the resurrection. Well, now I am the reconciliation. It's a very beautiful thing going on, very rich. I'm the resurrection. I am the reconciliation. Verse 18, God gave to us. Verse 19, God committed to us. What we believe in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus Christ, two things happen that are pertinent here in our study. We are personally reconciled with God. We receive the ministry of giving it to others and reconciling them with God. Two things happen to every one of us when we believe in Jesus Christ that are pertinent in this study. We are reconciled with God, peace with God, and we're given the ministry to bring others to this point. This is powerful, what's happening. Let's close with verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How are they going to be reconciled to God? By faith, same way we were. I wish we had a big children's clang around here. When I was a little child, I was in the Royal Ambassadors. Were you in the GAs? And it was fun. It wasn't wrong. For a while I thought it was wrong, and then I realized that was corny. But it was wonderful. And we learned so much about these things that we're talking about here, being ambassadors. So we have been given, we have been committed with this. We are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador, people? Ambassador does not live, is not from where he is. We're not from here. We're from above. We are aliens on this earth. An ambassador does not represent himself. An ambassador represents someone else. We represent Jesus Christ. And when the world rejects you and rejects your message, they are not rejecting you. That's why Jesus Christ says in John 6, the world doesn't hate you, it hates me. It hates me. And if you let the world know that you're in me, it will hate you. This is what's going to be intensified in the second half of the tribulation. The world will hate them to the point of killing them. But we're here as ambassadors. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here to represent ourselves. We're not here to let the world know how wonderful we are. We're here to tell them of Christ. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reconciliation that has been given to us. First to us personally, by the work of Christ on the cross, received by grace through faith. And what a wonderful thing to tell others. Not that they're sinners, horrible people, and you're going to come after them, but that they can come to you simply by faith. What a great message we have. What a great ministry we have. What a wonderful task to tell others of the peace that's already, they don't establish it by their life, it's already been established. All they have to do is to receive it by faith. Father, I pray that the Spirit will take these things now, anchor them in our soul, and the next time we have the opportunity, we'll tell others how to be reconciled with Christ. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.